Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Vav. We're holding right at the bottom over here on daf Hei Omud Beit. Let's just start. I think we did this already, but let's just start Bar Hadaya. So it's seven lines from the bottom. Bar Hadaya, Boi Latu Yagita. So Bar Hadaya wanted to bring, wanted to bring a get, remember, and he came to Rav Achi. Rav Achi was the official Mamuna Agiti, and Rav Achi told him, Tzarech atah la'amod al kol odvaot. If you're going to be able to say, Lefanai nechtam, Lefanai nechtam, you're going to have to be able to say, I saw every last letter being written. So then he came, atah l'kam de Rav Ami v'Rav Asi, and they said, no, you do not need that. Not only that, but if you think that you're doing a mitzvah and you're going to be machmir, and you'll say, oh, I was aimed, I'll call oz va'oz, v'chitem ha'avid l'chumra, nimtzat ha'motzi laz ha'gitim ha'rishonim. So then people will say that the other gitim, which the person said, b'fadai nechtam, b'fadai nechtam, and was unable to say, I stood there on every oath, because he didn't, and then that's going to be, people will start saying those gitim were never kosher. Rabbi Barbachana, Aite Gita, Palge Yichtev Kameh, Palge Lo Yichtev Kameh. So Rabbi Bar Bachana wanted to bring a get also from Chutz La'aretz. Half of it he had actually seen, and it was written in front of him, so he was able to say Befanai Nechtav on that half. But half of it he wasn't there for. So he comes to Rabbi Elazar, Otel Kam to Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar paskind, you do not need to see more than one line that was written Lishma. You can assume that once the get started out Lishma, it ended up being completed Lishma. They didn't change their mind in the middle and write it for somebody else who had the same name or something like that. Actually, the first line includes the names, so at least you get away from that. Ravashi Omar. Ravashi takes a step further. He says you don't even actually have to see anything. Afilu Shama. So now the question is exactly what this word is. There's a girsa, kal. The other girsa says we have it kan, but what exactly is a kan? Kamusa. And kan megilta. So there's a number of different pshatim Rashi offers over here. One is that kan is from the word tikkun. So that he heard the sefer being mitaken the quill. And as he was mitaken the quill, he said, I'm about to write a get for somebody. And he mentions the name of the man and the name of the woman. And he's saying, you know, I better make sure that this quill is well polished. And the rush speaks out, don't think that that means that you have to make the quill lishma or that you have to make the klaf lishma, because that's not true. It doesn't mean that you were metakein the klaf lishma. It just means that as he was being metakein the klaf, he heard the sofer say that I need to write a get now for, and he said these names. So it means that he was aware that it was lishma. And why? So then who cares about the kumas and the klaf? Because if he was already being metakein the kumas and the klaf, it means that it was very lamaaseh. It was going to get done now. I mean, otherwise, you know, maybe afterwards he found somebody else by the same name who commissioned again. I don't know. But this way, even that would be enough. Rashi himself suggests that the word kan is not a shortening of tikkun. It's actually the sound that is made. So when you write on the parchment, you hear a sound that goes something like kan kan. And so that means not that it's a separate issue of the kumas or the megilta, but rather the sound of the quill on the megillah makes that sound of kan kan. Okay, whatever it means, we get the idea. Tanika vaseh the Ravashi, and we can actually prove that even just the shmia of that is sufficient, because it says hamevi get mi medinat hayam. Even if he was in the downstairs and the sofer was writing the get upstairs, or he was upstairs and the sofer was downstairs writing the get, For that matter, even if he wasn't even there, he just was going in and out all day long, it would be kosher. Well, we'll analyze that last part in a minute, but if he was upstairs and the sofer was downstairs or vice versa, how could he say, b'fanai nechtav v'nai nechtam? That doesn't make any sense. Halo kochazi, eh? Well, you didn't see anything. So you see from here that it was enough that he overheard, and he was shoma kan kamusa v'kan megilta, and that means that Rav Ashi is 100% right. You don't, when it says, b'fanai nechtav v'nai nechtam, it doesn't mean I saw it. B'fanai is enough that he actually recognizes that this is what the sofer was preparing, and he wrote it. He heard him say he was about to write it lishma. So you don't need the actual first line. You just need to know that it was clear that this is the intent. I'm going to be writing this lishma for so-and-so and so-and-so. And that would be, if it's immediately done, it was at the moment of the kanka muzva kama gilta, that you can rely that the entire thing was done according to that. Now, what's this last piece? Even though he's going in and out all day long, what does that mean? Who's going in and out all day long? The shliach was going in and out all day long? Well, why does he have to go in and out? I mean, if he is on a different area, he's downstairs and the sofer's upstairs and vice versa, he doesn't see anything. If he's going in and out, the mashmaut is going in and out where the sofer actually is, not going in and out of the house, because that doesn't really address anything. And if he was there in the same room, obviously, that's even better. I mean, what's going in and out is a problem. If he doesn't need to be there at all, well, one was upstairs and one is downstairs. So, nichlas v'yotzimi, boy. Ella, it must mean the sofer. The sofer was going in and out of the house. Ask the Gemara, the sofer. Who cares? Pshita. What do you mean? We would think that we possibly get because the sofer goes in and out of the house. And the sofer goes to the bathroom. And the sofer goes out to buy a cup of water or something. Maybe he was being chased by Rabbanea. Who knows? So, therefore, we should think that the get would be possible. No. Obviously, that's not the point. The point is that the sofer went out to the shuk. There's a lot of people. Now, you might think, okay, maybe he meets this guy who says, Mr. Sofer, this is an emergency. I got to get rid of my witch now. And if you get me this get within 10 minutes, I give you an extra $1,000. Now, it happens to be, of course, that this guy's got the same name as the get that he's writing, right? Okay. So he figures, oh, an easy $1,000, runs home. And even though he started the get with the name in mind of this person, he ends up actually writing it for another person. And that person's wife, you might think, I mean, even though normally we wouldn't be chayshish, but since he went out to the marketplace, maybe that's what happened. Kamash Baran, that we don't have such a thing. Now, Tosis points out, this is insane. I mean, besides the question of like, you know, what are the chances? I mean, anyway, he wouldn't be allowed to have written a get, as Tosis himself pointed out earlier, when we were talking about maybe he found someone whose name was like his name, that in that case, a get wouldn't be kosher in that town, written just with the names of the man and the wife, if it wouldn't be able to be noted that it was that particular person. So Tosis says, look, but there's a difference between proving something, right? In other words, if you're going to say that kan kamusa is sufficient, then you're going to need to be able to make it absolutely clear that that kan kamusa didn't have any other issues attached to it. So you might think that in terms of proving it, it's not enough if the guy went out to the shuk and it's possible that he started to get with one kavana and then completed it after coming back from the shuk. Therefore, okay, there's still, we found at least that there was a point in telling us that there is no chashash even if he went out to the shuk. Now comes the question regarding Bavel. What is the din of Bavel? Itma. Bavel. Rav Amar Keretz Yisrael Gitin, Ushmuel Omar Kechutz La'aretz Begitin. Now what we're talking about over here is not Bavel in terms of sending from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, because that we're going to be discussing shortly. And what we are talking about over here is Medina L'Medina in Bavel. Does Medina L'Medina in Bavel have the same din as Chutz La'aretz or not? So Rav says, Bavel has exactly the same din as Eretz Yisrael. And Shmuel says, Bavel has the same din as Chutz La'aretz. Now, Our first take on this was, of course, oversimplified because we related it to the initial machlokas between Rabbah and Ravah. So we said, it looks like the machlokas over here between Rav and Shmuel is the machlokas between Rabbah and Ravah, because Marsav l'fishem bikin lishma. So Rav, he holds the problem is lishma, and in Bavel, obviously they had even a better yediyah lishma than in other places, because remember that Bavel was the place where the main development of Torah took place from the time of Yechonyahu HaMelech, and the Charash and the Masger, which were the Sanhedrin and all of the Talmidei Chachamim, that they were sent to Bavel before the main Golos came to Bavel and set up yeshiva. So therefore, if the issue is lishma, so in Bavel, of course, they would be well-educated. Everybody would know about lishma. Whereas where we're talking about over, according to Shmuel, Mar Sovar, l'fishein eni mitzvim l'kaimo. It's all very nice that they know about lishma, but if you're going from one political entity to another, so then you've got the problem of eni mitzvim l'kaimo. Well, if that's the case, then Bavel should be in the same situation. And Hani Nami Lo Shchichi. So therefore, we're saying that it's actually like Chutzlaret. Ah, come on, says the Gemara, but none of this holds water anymore. But Tisbra, well, this is going to explain anything. Remember, we came out that there was no choice but to say that even if you hold that there is a problem of Lishma, that doesn't mean that there is no fundamental issue of Eidim Mitzvim L'Kaimo. So then we wouldn't have been explaining anything, because both Rav and Shmuel would hold that you need Eidim Mitzvim L'Kaimo, and therefore we have the problem of it being a separate political entity, you won't have Eidim L'Kaimo. So then how do you explain the Machlokas? So there's got to be another issue. Kulei Alma be'ina L'Kaimo. Obviously, we said everybody, even if you hold the Lishma, but still you've got to have this problem. It's just that Rav holds that Kiva Te'ika Mitivta. Look, I mean, there's so many yeshivas in Bavel, and people are going to these yeshivas from place to place. So what are you going to say? You're going to say that, yeah, but it's a different political entity. Tell me something. Did you ever find Yeshiva Bochum had problems with visas? They always managed to sneak through one way or the other, right? So you think you've got, I'm thinking you got machers over here, whatever, so they'll fake the corona certificates, they'll fake, but somehow or other they'll get through. So once you've got yeshivas, you don't have any problem of people coming to have Eidim. Things haven't changed, right? So you will have Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaimai. And Shmuel holds, big deal. Yeshiva Bochum, they don't know what the heck is going on in the world, and they won't recognize anybody's signature anyway. They're too busy learning to be able to get involved in people's checks and so on. So maybe they're not machers in that way. So mitifta, figure sire, tree they say. What are they going to help you? You're going to go to them and you're going to say, you know, do you recognize a signature? What's a signature? Okay, it won't help you much. Itmar nami. Omer Baba, Omer Ravuna, we see that this is the issue. The issue has to do with the mitiftot. Because Omer Baba, Omer Ravuna, that you should know, asinu atzminu b'bavel ke'eretz Yisrael legitin. That actually, we treat halacha. We've made it the standard halacha that in Bavel, from the time, michi asa Rav l'bavel, from the time that Rav came to Bavel, we started treating Bavel as Eretz Yisrael. So now the question over here is that Michi Asa Rav L'Bavel, what exactly is the change now that Rav has come? It can't be that Rav has taught the Din of Lishma. I mean, because first of all, the Din of Lishma, as we pointed out before, Bavel was the place where everybody would have known, even if they didn't know in Eretz Yisrael. So if Rav Abba is explaining only from the time that Rav came to Bavel, so then that must be because when Rav opened up his yeshiva and Shmuel was already there from before. So Rav opened up the yeshiva in Sura and Shmuel had the yeshiva in Narda. So that's when people started going back and forth from different places. You see that they apparently were relying on the ribuy of the yeshivas of that this would be considered to be Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaimai. So therefore, it seems to be that that's the point, exactly like we said, that it's only because of the Ika Mitifta. Masiv Reb Yirmiyah, if you're telling me that you do not need Bifanai Nechtav or Bifanai Nechtam in Bavel, how do you explain the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mirekem leMizrach veRekem kiMizrach. Now it's telling us, from what point onwards to the various directions do you need to say Bifanai Nechtam Bifanai Nechtam? So it's got Rekem, we said, to the east, Ashkelon to the south, and Ashkelon itself is considered to be outside, part of the south. Mi'ako letzafon, v'ako ketzafon. Now, wait a minute. If you're telling me from Ako north all the way to the North Pole, then you're going to be including Bavel, right? So I don't understand. Bavel is to the north of Eretz Yisrael. D'chtiv ha'yomer Hashem Eli mitzafon tipatach hara'a. Utnan, Rabbi Meir Omer, Ako k'Eretz Yisrael legitin, but only Ako. Even Rabbi Meir is made that Akko, because Akko is so close to the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. We had all discussion. Akko is Chetzi Eretz Yisrael, Chetzi outside of Eretz Yisrael. But Bavel, which is far away, so then it seems that the Mishnah is saying 100% that Bavel is considered to be like Chutz Laaretz. So then the dinim of Mimedina Lemedina Bimedina Tayam should apply to Bavel. So how could anybody say that a get in Bavel does not require b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam? Now, obviously, there's a bit of a problem over here because we only said that this is true michi asa Rav l'Bavel. So what are we talking about? Rav came to Bavel way after the Mishnah. So how are you asking a kasha from the Mishnah if we actually had said that things have changed? So what would that mean? So this is a bit of a problem. So because of that, the Rabbeinu Tam understood that the Michiyasa Rav LeBavel means that from the time that Rav explained to us that Bavel is the Mokar of the Torah, that Yechonyo HaMelech, starting from that time, we already had the Charash and the Masger, that we should be treating Bavel, and he basically explained to us that Bavel was never included, therefore, in the Gezerah. That's how the Rabbeinu Tam understands the whole sugya. That it had nothing to do, like Rashi says, with opening up a new yeshiva. And so what exactly would this be? So there's a lot of interesting historical issues that are brought up over here, because the Rishonim talk about the fact that the Charash and the Masger were not in one particular place in Bavel. They were making the entire Bavel. And there were yeshivas all over Bavel from way before Rav came to Bavel. But the point is that there was a specific change at the time when Rabbi Chiya Ubanov, the Gemara says, when Rabbi Chiya Ubanov came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, so there were tens of thousands of people that ended up in Eretz Yisrael because of that, because of the yeshivas that were open in Eretz Yisrael. And it's Rav who reestablished the movement in Bavel because of the new yeshiva of Sura now that became actually competitive with Narada, the people would go to that massive yeshiva. So fine. So it actually, if that's the case, so then we can understand that that was just like a period which it had stopped. But during the time of the Mishnah, for sure, it should have been that there was no din of needing to say Fanai Nechtam, Fanai Nechtam. So therefore, we have a right to ask the question from the Mishnah statement about Akko North. Who motiv lo v'umafarik lo? So it was Rabbi Yirmeh who asked this question. He said, I mean, it's not a kasha, because Bavel is not normal. It's not a place like other places that you're going to say everything from the north, everything from the east. That's not the point. We understand that Bavel is, by definition, the center. And like, of course, we're not treating it as just like anything to the north and anything to the south and that kind of thing. So because of that, the Mishnah means it's true, all places all the way up to the North Pole, but that's Lavar Mi Bavel. I mean, for sure nobody's going to think that that means we're going to include Bavel. Okay, so that's just a Dover Pasha. It's just an interesting point of a beautiful, famous Brisker Rav, which has got so much contemporary meaning. So everybody asks the kasha of why does the Gemara say Bavel is Litzfona Eretz Yisrael Kaima? Dichtiv Vayomer Hashem Eli Mitzafon Tipatach Ha'ra'ah. I mean, anybody who's got a map knows that Bofill is in Tzofen Eretz Yisrael. I mean, and everybody has maps because everybody's traveling all the time. I mean, what in the world do we need to actually bring a pasuk that Bofill is to the north of Eretz Yisrael? So the Brisker Rav quotes the Medrash about Yoshua saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, halo chatavta alive Yoshua binun nar lo yamush mitocha ohel. In that famous conversation, if there's anything that you don't know, so like, what, I never left you for a minute. It says so beferish in the Torah. So the Brisker Rav asks, what kind of crazy medrash? What does Yoshua need to bring a riot to Moshe that he never left from the pasuk if they're the ones who were experiencing it? Obviously, so you know I never left, right? So the Brisker Rav says, nobody ever knows a damn thing. You always just think you know. And so if you want to really know, then you need to have a pasuk that proves it. People are like completely confused about what the nature of their knowledge is. It's much more reliable to prove that Bavel is to the north than the map. Okay. It's a very, very sweet mimer, right? Okay, anyway, Ad Heichanu Bavel. Now the question is, where exactly, I mean, we understand Bavel by definition is sort of Mesopotamia, but that's a very big area, right? So what exactly do we mean? Is Nogea the Yishuv of Yisrael and Bavel, that we're giving Bavel a din of Eretz Yisrael, and that's the place where we had the Charash of the Masgir? Omrev Papa, well, you had the same question, remember, when we learned in the Gemara in Kiddushin that the entire Eretz Yisrael is considered to be, vis-a-vis Bavel, is considered to be Issa, meaning that it doesn't have as clear Yuchasim. So that's because Ezra was Mitire, the Yichusin of Bavel completely, and we want to know what area that was. So that area where Ezra was active is precisely the same area where the Charash HaMasker had gone. And that, we know, is a Machlokas over there in Kedushin. Whatever all of the Shitas that we had in Kedushin are equally applicable to the question that you have here about what is considered to be the area vis-a-vis the Gittin. Rav Yosef Omer, no, it's not true. That's only been okay of the original settlement from the time of Ezra. That machlokas is yuchsin. When it comes to Gittin, everybody agrees that divrei hakol ad arba tinyana de gishra. Everyone agrees it goes only up to Barnea's home, that's the second arva, and arva is like a wetlands. So it's this where the reeds grow. So it's at the second wetlands past the bridge. If you want to know exactly how to get there, we have with us today Rabbi Barnea, and he can, together with his Mazel Tov, will be happy to give us directions how to get to the Shalom Zachar in Arba Tinyana. I'm sure
does
that...
Does Rabbi have the green book that has all those maps that was in the Beis Medrash? It's the Yaakov Eshel book that lays out all these maps on four pages, exactly where everything is.
I have to look and see if I have it. Was it ours? Was ours in the Beis Medrash?
I think we dispersed. I may have one downstairs. I'll look. But these are
no things. Rav Chista, now, there's another issue about the area of Bavel, because Rav Chista says that you have to say, Fanay Nechtam, if you're sending a get from Aktisfon to Bay Archer. But in the other direction, from Bay Archer to Aktisfon, you don't need to say Befanai Nichtam, Befanai Nichtam. Now, Bay Ardashir was actually right within this Tum of Bavel, and Satisfon was on the other side of the river, and it was outside of the same Tuchum. So, does that make sense, that you only go in one direction? I mean, would that be because maybe Rav Chista holds that the whole issue is the issue of Lishma, and so the people in Be'ad Ashir, since they were in Bavel, they are included in the Yediyah of Bavel, and they were Bekiyim in Lishma, and the other ones were not. So people in Be'ad Tisfan were not. Ah, come on. You know, that's old-fashioned thinking. We already have come out with the fact that Rabbah holds of Rava. So anyway, Lishma is never going to be sufficient to explain Because if you still need to have Edim L'Kaimai, so then you're going to have to explain to me how it could only be in one direction. If there's a political entity that creates the difference, then it would have to be bidirectional, right? Says the Gemara, the truth is, of course everybody agrees that you need to be able to be Mekayim and get with Edim. So how could it be only in one direction? I'll tell you, it's very simple. The people of Be'ar Dashir do all of their shopping in Akdas Farm, right? So because of that, the people that are in Akdas Farm, they are constantly taking chits, checks, IOUs, all kinds of things from people in Be'ar Dashir. And because of that, all of the stores and anybody who makes sales, it was a big market town. So anybody who's involved in business knows the signatures of the people from Be'ar Dashir. So because of that, they are experts. But Hani B'Anach Lo Yadeh, the people of Be'ar Dashir, how are they supposed to know the signatures of people in Akdas Tifon? I mean, what do you think? Because they're there for the day, so B'Mela, they're doing all their shopping, they get to know the other people's signatures. I mean, they're busy doing shopping. B'Shukayo Tree Day. They have time to get friendly with the people, do they? So they don't know anything about them. Therefore, it's possible that even in a situation where our concern is entirely to make certain that we have witnesses, that it would not be bidirectional. And that, because remember, witnesses mean people that are normally available to be able to recognize signatures, not just that they're available. We just saw that with Rav and Shmuel, that if yeshiva bochurim don't really pay attention to signatures, then they're not going to be useful for kiyum, and therefore we have a one-directional. Rabbi Bar Avuah says, look, you need to have l'fanai nechtam and l'fanai nechtam, even from one side of the street to the other side of the street. And that's considered to be the same problem of Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaimai. Rav Shesha says, even if you got a little enclosed neighborhood, used to be three houses, would be considered to be a shchuna. So you got into a housing development. Even if you're in the same housing development and there's another housing development that's literally next door, you would still need B'fanai nechtam. Rava says, what are you talking about, another housing development? Even if you're in the same housing development, people don't know each other. That's going to turn out to be what the problem is. But the question is, we assume that if you're in the same housing development, then obviously people know each other. So, I mean, I thought Rava said the only problem is the fishay neidim etzim l'kaima. So why did he say that you need to get in the same housing development? I don't understand. I mean, there's no issue of Lishma, according to him. If the problem is to know each other, don't you know each other? No. Because he's referring to housing developments in Mechuza. Mechuza is like L.A. So what does that mean? Nobody knows anybody. You spend your entire day doing whatever business you're doing. And then you're there for like, what, a year until the company bumps you into some other town. You got to move to Dallas. I mean, nobody knows anybody. So because of that, they're night day. They're always moving. So people never get to know anybody. You know, maybe you settle down in a place for 5 years. You don't have time to know people during the time that you're there. As Rashi says, you're busy doing business. Now, this is fascinating because the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam Paskins like this. The Rabbeinu Tam says, today, everybody's in L.A. So basically, people no longer know anybody. They're always moving. They're always involved in business. It's not like the good old days when people sat on the porch and watched the people going by. That doesn't exist anymore. This is back in the days of the Rabbeinu Tam. Can you imagine? So, and the Rabbeinu Tam says, therefore, every get that is brought, you need to say b'fanai nechtam because it is takana. And if not, then according to Rabbi Meir, the get is puzzle, remember. Oh my God. And this actually is, the Chazanish writes about this, that there's some people who are makel on this. Chas v'chalila, even though there are other opinions against Rabbeinu Tam, chas v'chalila to take a chance on a get, and you must say bizman hazeh, b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam, even if you're next door neighbors. So, fine. Unbelievable. So this is specifically because of Mechuzah or because of the contemporary condition.
Rebbe, this feels like it has the sense of what the Sanhedrin answered Achashverosh. We're stirred up now. We don't have the issue. That's what he's describing, that everything is in constant turmoil.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there it's psychological turmoil that's based on it. Here it's just they literally don't even know each other. It's going beyond that. Anyway, Rav Chanin was saying over Maisa that Rav Kahana once brought a get. I don't remember whether he was bringing this get from Surah to Nardar. Maybe it was from Nardar to Surah, but that's inconsequential. But the bottom line is, he brought, this is what Rav Chanin was saying over the story. So he brought this, Rav Kahana brought this get to Rav, and he asked Rav, so do I need to say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtav, or not? So Rav said to him, no, you don't need to. So the question over there is there any point, however, in doing it? Yes. If you do, then it will be very useful. V'yavadet ahanit. What is that supposed to mean? It means the iati baal me'arer, sorry, lo mashkichin bay. So now, you see, we might have thought, remember the way that we ended up after the understanding of the whole sugya of how it is that b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam is possibly the equivalent of not requiring kiyum of shtarim. So that's because of the fact that the shliach has to be medayek, right? And it's that, we call that the hot seat. He's in a hot seat. And the takana, therefore, created a hot seat. Now, I might have thought that in the event that somebody wants to say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam, but he's not really in the hot seat because it isn't that he's going to be forced to, and therefore a volunteer is never as reliable. That's the good olam mitzvah v'yoseh kind of thing. Volunteers are not reliable because after all, you know, I'm saying this on my own. You want to make me trouble, so forget about it, so I won't say it, you know? I need to say this. That's the contemporary statement. I don't need this. Exactly. So if I don't need this, so maybe it doesn't work, even if you would do it, right? Therefore, it's not so partial that the chiddush over here is that if you do say, b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam, and the Baal would come along and would be me'arer, so it's just as good if you do it voluntarily as if you needed to do it. And we will believe the shliach, we won't believe the Baal. So that's what he's saying. Di avadat, it's mahanya diati baal ma'arer. We will, in fact, pay no attention to him. Lo mashkechinam be. And I can prove that that's true. Kedatanya. Ma'ase ba'adam achat shevi get lifnei Reb Yishmael. So somebody comes, bringing a get from far away to Eretz Yisrael, and he asks Reb Yishmael, do I need to say the v'fanai nechtav, v'fanai nechtam, or not? So Reb Yishmael says to him, B'ni mi'heichan ata, where are you coming from? So where you bring the get from? So he says, Rebbe, I'm coming from Kfar Sisoy. So Rebbe Shmuel said, well, then you need to say b'vanai nechtav v'nai nechtam in order, shalot yizakek la'idim, in order that this woman shouldn't have a problem in finding edim. Anyway, the guy left. Rebbe Eloi, I mean, didn't want to argue in front of the guy, but when the guy left, so Rebbe Eloi, who was following the Spiskei halachas that were coming from inside, he comes in and he said, but Rebbe, halo kvar tzisoi muvlat betchum Eretz Yisrael, v'krova letzipori, even yoter miyako. You should know that kvar tzisoi is like mamish part of the Iker Yishuv. It's very close to Tzipori. And therefore, you should know that it is closer to the area where people are Bekiyim, even more than Akko is. And Akko, we accept that the because of the fact that it still is close enough, but it is partially Eretz Yisrael, this is shouldn't have needed it. So why did you tell him? The Mishnah says, now this piece here, is not part of the Brihah Sermon. I don't, in the middle of a Brihah Sermon, I'm not going to have, and the Mishnah says. So we're just bringing a, sorry, 1 minute. So just bringing a raya over here. What was bothering Rabbi Eloy? Said in the Mishnah that according to Rabbi Meir, Akol Keretz Yisrael Legitin, and even the Rabbanan were only chaylik with Rabbi Meir on Akol. Because Akol is far away from the center of the Yishuv at the time. But Kfar Sisoi, they would have agreed that you don't need to say B'fanai Nechta, B'fanai Nechta. That's what Rabbi Eloy was asking. So now continues the Braisa, Amarlo. So Rabbi Shmuel said to Rabbi Eloy, relax. Everything's going to be fine. Shtok, b'nei shtok. Listen, what's your problem? It's very good. It works out for the best that I told him that you need to, because this way, I know that's the kind of place where husbands can make problems, and it's best for the woman that she said it, right? Okay, so what do you see from there? That even though mi'ikra, then you did not need to say, that Rabbi Yishmael told Rabbi Eloy, but you're right, but since he said it, it turned out to be very much for the good, didn't it? Wait a minute, hold on a second. Did I understand correctly? Rabbi Yishmael himself said that. I mean, when the guy asks, do I need to say, Rabbi Yishmael didn't tell him yes. Rabbi Shmuel told him, you need to say b'fanai nechta b'fanai nechtam, because that way the woman is going to be in better shape. So, I mean, basically, what Rabbi Shmuel has to tell the guy, these foras, that it'll be better because we'll have Edim. That's not the normal way in which you give a psak halacha. The guy is asking, I need to give a sage b'fanai nechta b'fanai nechtam, and he say yes. So that means that if Rabbi Eloy was listening, so then he knew that Rabbi Yishmael himself had already anticipated this issue and had said, I'm only asking you to say b'fanai nechta b'fanai nechtam because it's better. So why did Rabbi Eloy come along and say, I don't understand? No, that's true. But lo simu akameh. They didn't say over to Rabbi Eloy exactly what he said. Rabbi Eloy was standing outside and he would ask people going in, okay, so what's your question? I'm very interested to learn from the Psak Halacha. And he came out and he said, I need to say Fanai Nechta, Fanai Nechta. They didn't say the whole thing. And he said the reason is, so Rabbi Eloy thought that Rabbi Yishmael was thinking that Kfar Sisoi was maybe actually Chayev in B'Fanai Nechta, Fanai Nechta. Shalach le Reviv Yasser le Rav Chista. Now we're going to start talking about not Mimidina le Medina in Bava, which we've been discussing until now, but rather bringing a get from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Aviaser sends a message to Rav Chista that gittin that are brought from Bavel to here in Eretz Yisrael, ein tzarich lomar b'fanai nechtav u'b'fanai nechtam. So machlok, as we had before, Rav and Shmuel, as we explained before, Rashi says, which the Tosfos both explained clearly, can only be talking about Medina la Medina. Here we're talking about, what about bringing a get to Eretz Yisrael? So why would Rav Aviatar say that you don't have to worry about it? Is it because Bavel is so learned, and the whole problem is she'en b'kiyin lishma, and in Bavel everybody knows, and that's why we don't apply the din of Medinat Hayam? No, as we've said, that's absurd, because we now know there is no such anti-shita. Everybody agrees. Even if they're worried about Lishma, they still agree that you got to worry about Edom Mitzvim L'Kaimo. So that can't be the point. So how do you explain the fact that we don't have to worry even though it's so far away? Because it must be the Kule Alma B'Inan L'Kaimo. So why is it that he's saying that Bavel is not a problem of Edom? Because Kivadika Rabin de Salke V'Nachte Mishka Shchichi. There's always people that are traveling back and forth from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael because of the exchange of Talmidim and so on. And that means there will always be people to be Mekayim the Eden. Rav Yosef, wait a minute over here, says Rav Yosef. I don't, why are we sitting here discussing Rav Aviatar? Who says that Rav Aviatar knows what the heck he's talking about? I don't know. All of a sudden, you guys make up new gedolim every day. So today it's Rav Aviatar. I don't see why we think he's reliable. man lemel under Rav Yotar bar Samcha, who says that he's reliable, and as it can prove to you that he is not a Talmud Chacham. You shouldn't rely on him, because he once wrote a letter, like they say, once it's on the internet, he once wrote a letter to Rav Yehuda, and he said, you know, people who come from over there in Babel here in Eretz Yisrael, they end up being mekayim on themselves. Vayitnu hayeled bizona, vayalda machru bayayin vayishtu. You know, they take their kids, they give the boys to prostitutes, they give the girls, they sell them into prostitution. Look what they're doing with their kids. They leave their kids alone, or they don't have kids at all. They don't think kids are important. That's how Rashi learns it, you know. So as Gabi always says, kids are highly overrated. You know, okay, so, you know, you stay away from home for a couple of years at a time, go to Eretz Yisrael. Who are you, boy? I'm your son. Okay, I mean, that's ridiculous. So this is a terrible thing. We have to do something about this. Hefkeris, people want to come learn for a month, whatever. But, I mean, to stay away like this? So they were Mekayim on themselves, this pasuk. Now, this pasuk from Yoel is all very nice, that it may apply. But can you imagine that Rav Avyatar wrote this pasuk in his letter without sirtut? He didn't actually make lines in order to write the pasuk on. And, I mean, everybody knows that Rav Yitzchak said, if you're writing out a pasuk, the maximum is two words you could write without writing sirtut. But if you're at three words, he wrote the whole pasuk over here. If you have three words, you're not allowed to do it without sirtut. You have to make that indentation in the cloth. And obviously, if Rav Yosser wrote more than that, then he's not a real Talmud Chacham. And for him to give an opinion about Bavel and Eretz Yisrael is simply ridiculous. And there's also a braita, the Matnita Tana, Shalosh, you can write three words, but you can't write four words. But the bottom line is, this guy's not trustworthy. Omalei Abaye, what is your problem, Rav Yosef? What, anybody who doesn't know Rav Yitzchak is considered not to be a Talmud Chacham? I mean, what exactly does it mean to be a Talmud Chacham? No, everything that everybody in the world ever said and ever quoted. I mean, so you find one thing that he didn't know. So I don't understand what you're talking about. What that means, he's not an Adam Gadol. I mean, I understand. If you're going to tell me that the chiyuv of sirtut in writing a pasuk from Tanakh is a something that you could figure out, it's two words, three words, I understand if this person is not going to bother thinking about it and come up with his understanding, you could say that l'chayah. You want to say he's not a Talmud Chacham, why are we quoting him? Nu, meila. But this is a Gemara. Rabbi Yitzchak is not saying something logical, right? He was Mekayim Mekabel from his Rebbe. You can write two words. You're not allowed to write three words. So Rabbi Yosser was never taught this Gemara. I understand. And Gzeira Shavah, Ein Adam Dan Dor Gzeira Shavah. Everybody's supposed to know every Gzeira Shavah. Nobody ever heard of such a thing. So are you making fun of Rabbi Yosser? And it happens to be, says Abaye, that Rav Yosser has smicha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What kind of chutzpah the way you're talking about Rav Yosser? How many people do you know that have smicha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's very sweet. Rav Yosser, he's the very man to ask him Morei Al Yodeh. It's a famous story that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself gave him a stamp of approval. Because we were wondering what the meaning is. So Vatizne Alav Pilaksho in the story of Pilegesh Begiva, right? So it starts off with the story of a guy who's traveling with his Pilegesh. His Pilegesh, it says she was Mizana. Now, she obviously wasn't really Mizana because the whole story revolves around the fact that the guy goes back in order to get his Pilegesh back because she had run home. And he goes there and he stays there first in order to be re-makarev her. So the minhag, even though maybe she has become a surah on him, but as the Mefarsher point out, the minhag was you're not makarev. We bring this from the story of Avshalom in Tosfos. But it's okay, whatever. There's a lot of discussion about it, but he wouldn't have gone back to get his Pilegesh because if she was Mizana, he wouldn't have taken her back. So then that means Vatiznealav means she wasn't careful about him, right? So we asked over there, well, so what did she do exactly? So Rabbi Lev Yasser is the one who said, Zvuv Matzala. He found a fly in his soup. And he said, what? This is the kind of food that you feed me with a fly? So he threw her out of the house. Rabbi Yonasan Amar, no. He found a hair. So now it's going to turn out that what it's talking about is he found out that she had a pubic hair. Now that sounds a little bit weird to us. However, the minhag at the time was that people were very nervous about pubic hair because there, it's very interesting. If you look around, you'll find that there is a syndrome that is called hair tourniquet syndrome. Because it sounded so crazy, I actually went out and found the story of a guy who nearly lost his penis because of hair tourniquet syndrome. So what happens, as Rashi explains? So they were very nervous that if a woman has pubic hair, what happens if a hair gets tightly wrapped around his penis, makes it gangrenous, and now she's going to kill him? So if she doesn't do a perfect job on her shaving, so then she deserves to be thrown out of the house. Fine. So this is what the Gemara is going to end up explaining, is the problem of the hair. Anyway, Rav Eliezer met Eliyahu Hanavi, and he asked Eliyahu Hanavi, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing right now? So Eliyahu said, right now he's being Isaac in the Sugya of Pelegish Begiva. So Rav Eliezer asked Eliyahu, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying at this time? Well, he's saying, my boy of Yasser says that it was all about a fly. And my boy Yonasan says it was about a hair. Omar Leis, Rav Eliezer asked Eliyahu Hanavi, what? What do you mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know what it was? I mean, I don't understand. We're talking about a fact. We're not talking about a drosha. You could say, Lav Bashamayim, he, I mean, so chas v'chalila, what are you saying? Mi'ika sveika kamishamaya, what, he doesn't know? Omar le, no, that's the point. Elu ve'elu divrei Elohim chayim. Zvuv matzav lo hikpid. Nima matzav ken hikpid. So that meant that Rav Eliezer, essentially what this means is that Rav Eliezer had a deeper insight to what happened. Because Rav Eliezer was saying that the whole story only came about because of the zvuv. So at the beginning, obviously, okay, it can happen. A fly flies into the soup. So I can't be makpid on a fly. But when he saw that he's got to be worried about his fly, then he figured, oh my gosh, this woman is just a slob. So then that means she wasn't careful about the fly either, right? And therefore, he was actually makpid because now the whole thing turned out to be a fundamental issue in his mind. There's a beautiful Rav Tzadik says, this is insane. Like, what do we care? Like, I don't understand. We're going to be thinking about Pelegish Begiva. I mean, what? This is no geatas, where it's a fly. Because the whole point is that the meaning we're going to see at the end is on the way that a situation can rapidly get out of control. And in the end, this Pelegish Begiva costs, I mean, tens of thousands of lives, right? And the issue over there becomes a tremendous tochacha for Klal Yisrael, that they're makbid on supposedly their own covet and their own morality, and they weren't makbid on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to be meicha on his covet. And because of that, tens of thousands of people are lost. So Rav Tzadik points out that therefore the getter that we're trying to bring out over here, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be Eisek, is that it's the same idea that we had mi baz lekatnut. People think little things don't matter. And the whole idea over here is that when you're talking about the way in which the world is run in terms of neis nister by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the question of the interrelationship of the development in the person's psychology of what will ultimately cause him to be makbid and will be megala this inyan of the Kavod Shamayim, there's no such thing as this is too small for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be worried about. There's no such thing. every last aspect is precise in terms of Midas HaDin, so that even though it sounds to you this is insane to be worried about flies and flies, it's not true. There is no such thing. And that's why we need it for him to meet Eliyahu HaNavi, and Eliyahu HaNavi to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Isaac in the sugya. It's really an amazing thing. Amar Rav Yehuda, this Vuv was only in his soup bowl, but the Nima was in that private place, Nima Ba'oto Makom. So this Vuv, in the beginning, it didn't bother him because it was just disgusting. But the Nima, that's dangerous. So therefore, because of that, it turns out to have been very Nogia. Ikede Amre, others say that no, actually, they were both in the plate. It's just that the fly, you could say, flew in. But if a woman leaves a hair in a plate, it means she's not being careful when she's cooking. And therefore, she's careless. And he got very angry with her. Omer of Chista, Lo Olam, what does this show you? Lo Olam al yati al adam e ma yitera betok beto. Shari pilegesh begiva yitila la ba'ala e ma yitera. Look at the way in which you deal with issues in your home can blossom and destroy lives. She was Hipila Kama Rivavot mi Israel because of the civil war between all of the Shvatim and Binyamin. We almost lost Shevet Binyamin. I mean, all of this because of a hair? This is beyond belief. That's like the Indian of the Bishvil Shnei Soloi Milas. The psychology that could come from Shnei Soloi Milas. It's even forget about Shnei Soloi Milas. A hair and the way that a person speaks, which leads to a divorce, which leads to a broken family, which leads to a civil war, which leads to nuclear destruction. God only knows what. I mean, like, you think that things are not meaningful. There's no such thing. Om Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Kol HaMatil Ema Yeterah B'toch Beito. Somebody who is so makbid in his home that his family is scared of him, Sof Ubali De Shalosh Averot. He's going to end up being over on Gilui Arayas, on Shvichas Domim, on Chilol Shabbos, because look, what's going to happen is, you know, as Rashi explains, I mean, the woman was supposed to go to the mikveh. There were no mikvehs, so she had to go and be tovelet in this lake. The lake was frozen. It was so cold that night, she couldn't get into the mikveh. She's scared to death to come back home and say to her husband, I didn't go. So she lies, and she says, I went. So he ends up being over on Gilui Arayas. And the Shvichas Damim, I mean, we just saw the Shvichas Damim, what could come from speaking so sharply. Chilul Shabbos happens all the time. She woman wasn't ready in time for Shabbos. The husband's going to blow a gut if she doesn't have the candles lit or if she doesn't have the food ready for Shabbos. So, okay, she's Mekel, you know, all right. This week we'll do the Rabbeinu Tam. Okay. So she's Mechalel Shabbat. He eats the food, and so he's going to come to Chilul Shabbos. Oh, my rabbi, barbarchana, hadi amri rabbanan. You know, the Mishnah Shabbos. Shalosh dvarim tzarich adam lomar betoch beto erev Shabbat ibchashecha. And they are, you have to ask your family. Yisartem, did you take off ma'isir? Eravtem, did you do the Erevin? Now, this is a whole issue. What's the Erevin? Rashi brings, we're talking about Erev Chatzeres. And, Tosis brings that. No, we're talking about actually Erev Tchumim. We're over there. We're much more marked on the time. And he also makes a statement. Okay, get the Shabbos candles lit. Hadlik Taner. So even though that's what the Mishnah says, Tzarich lememruna benechusa, you have to say these things in a nice, calm tone. Ki echad lekablumine, we need it that the people will pay attention to him, and will, because otherwise people, they just tune out. When people are all the time, they're always screaming, they're always criticizing, nothing's ever, you just tune out. The hell with that. I can't hear this anymore. But therefore, you're mechuyev to say it in a way that they'll be mekabelit. Omer Rav Ashi, that's a brilliant halacha. You know how brilliant it is? I never heard from Rabbi Baruch. But guess what? I figured it out myself. I realized that this, you know, it's pretty reasonable to do this kind of thing.